Okay, and this time I think we've finally got it figured out. Kathleen, are you there?
I am.
Oh, cool. Kathleen Blanchard is with Intervale Associates, and you are not only with Intervale Associates, but you're incredibly patient because we've sort of figured out which chords are where. It's like a snake pit in here, Kathleen. You should be here.
I can only imagine.
Oh, and imagining is all you'd want to do, really. I'm here also with Barb Neese, who is with us.
Hi, Barb.
And Barb Neese, I think we talked earlier a little bit. She's the principal investigator for the CURE project, so I'm glad to have her with us. And so she can see the I don't know, chaos.
Oh, I can vouch for these guys. They're doing a great job. You would not believe. We are in a room about 8x8 with 5 mics, 6 mics, and a lot of cords.
Oh, lots of cords. It's almost like fishing. There's just string everywhere,
Tangling
you know.
Nets.
Anyway, Kathleen, you're Intervale Associates and yourself, you're part of the CURA project, and you've been working on some aspects of that project, one of which relates to wolffish.
That's
so
right.
Why don't we chat about that just to get started here?
That's right. Well, we're a nonprofit organization, and we're based in the Codroy Valley, and we're really pleased to be one of the many community partners on this project that's serving the West Coast. And we do a lot in that part of Newfoundland, and we've been working in fisheries and specifically on wolffish and other species at risk for about 5 years now. So this is one of the areas of investigation by the CURA, and we do have a graduate student now who's been brought on, and her name is Jennifer Daw, and she'll be working under Barb and myself and others to take a look back and a look forward. How did we ever get into the situation with a marine fish, such as the wolffish, and there are three species, being listed by the Species at Risk Act, and how can we prevent future marine species getting listed? Did the way we handle it, was it appropriate? Did it involve comments and opinions by harvesters in a fair manner? And what does it take to get them off the list? And how can we do this better in the future?
Mm-hmm. You've been involved in a lot of public education around this, too, and I know you've spent time on the stages and the wharves. Is part of what you're doing trying to explain, as you say, the species at risk, the act itself, and how the wolffish got there? Is it part of it to explain the fishers' views to the policymakers? Are you kind of an interpreter?
Yeah, especially that last comment,
okay.
Because when we go down to the docks, you know, my opening comment, and this applies also to the staff that work with me, and many of them are recent graduates of College of the North Atlantic or Memorial University or Marine Institute, and we're giving them some great opportunities to interact directly with the harvesters. But the first thing we all say is, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I don't work for DFO, because that's been almost their sole contact on these issues. And we're not there to tell them what they need to know or what they need to do. We're there to listen, especially listen. And they've got a lot to say. And they have a lot of experience, and they have a lot of knowledge about where the wolffish are and, you know, what problems are created by, you know, some of this new legislation that is telling us all that we have to release wolffish live in the place where they were caught, but they're caught accidentally in all gear. And so it's a, well, they call it one word, nuisance.
Okay.
So
yeah.
we have to listen, and we have to together figure out the solutions for preventing the catch from the beginning and how to handle them safely, because they are dangerous. And you'll hear many stories from the harvesters, and maybe some will phone in today to tell you a few because they're worth listening to, and then, you know, how to release them live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the great thing, Ivan, is that the vast majority, I mean, nearly 100% of harvesters we've talked to, representing all gear types and fisheries and boat sizes and all across the province, they are releasing wolffish live in the place where they were caught.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing it, and that's amazing because fish harvesters don't necessarily agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
The crab fishermen don't necessarily agree, but they're doing it. They're doing it because they know they have to. It's the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, we would hope that they have faith that we can get them off the list eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we ask them, why are you doing it, you know? And we've learned a lot. You know, we've learned that a lot of them are doing it because it's the law and because they're no good to us, because they can't make any money with wolffish. And that sent us a signal that maybe what we're doing isn't the best we can do. because our goal, and we are a nonprofit organization, we don't work for DFO, as I said, our goal is sustained stewardship. And is this going to lead to sustained stewardship if people are doing it merely because there's an incentive of the law or a $50,000 fine? I suggest it's not. So how are we going to cultivate sustained stewardship? We know that people of this province love the ocean environment and all of its creatures, and they have an insatiable curiosity to understand what these creatures do and how they live and interact with each other. So we know very little about wolffish. We figured, well, let's do a DVD. Let's do a film that takes you underwater and shows everybody a little more about the life of wolffish. And so we did, and we came out with that a year and a half ago, and we've been distributing that around the province, and many of the harvesters see it in their professional meetings. And what we're all learning from it is that there's an ecological relationship between wolffish and sea urchins and kelp beds. And if it weren't for wolffish, the sea urchins may be getting out of hand. Their populations explode, and they are voracious predators on kelp. And kelp, as you know, is a very important species, and kelp beds are an important habitat as nurseries for a whole lot of important, economically important species. So once the harvesters see that in the DVD, there's an aha moment, and all of us are having it. And children are having it, too, because we're going into schools as well with this DVD. And it's really amazing that after seeing this 20-minute film, fifth and sixth graders can tell you how to distinguish between the three species of wolffish, an important food source, and that they're actually down in numbers, that they're threatened, and that they need to be protected. So this, as a tool, has been very helpful. And we think that understanding the ecological role of species is one ingredient to sustained stewardship. Certainly caring, thinking about future generations. Stewardship is about voluntary actions. And another thing we've learned is that nearly 100% of harvesters we talk to are releasing wolffish even in the absence of any person of authority, like a DFO officer or a fishery observer. Mm-hmm. They're doing it. And that's what I want to say, is that they're incredible, and my hats are off to them, and they are the ones who are going to make a difference in the future, whether we can get them off the list and whether we can prevent other species from reaching a point of endangerment.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of the keys is to try to make the link between people's, I suppose, existing or natural sense of the need for sustainability in terms of the ocean resources, you know, something that already exists there, make the link between that and the need to protect this or you know, this particular fish. And sometimes you're right that if a stick comes from outside, sometimes people are more likely just to bristle against that or put their back up.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's a challenge to try to figure out how to you're supporting this particular act, but how to do it within the particular mindset of the people.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, we don't have the answers, and we're not going to tell them what to do. The other thing we did with the DVD and what we're doing in workshops and so on is we let other harvesters talk. Mm-hmm. It's that conversation among their peers that's going to make a difference. We also try to provide opportunities for harvesters and children to interact as well, because that mentoring is going to really help make sure that we've got new up-and-coming harvesters mm-hmm. and people mm-hmm. who want to keep this fishery going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to, if I may mention, there's just something else we've come out with just yesterday. Are you there, mm-hmm. Ivan?
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if it's all right, we've just come out with a little poster. It's only, I think, 11 by 14 inches in size. Mm-hmm. And it's going to start appearing on the docks and in communities. And it's a little poster about cod. It has a close-up picture of a cod looking at you, eyeball to eyeball. And it merely says, "Cod, our heritage, our future, help conserve our precious resource." So as you and all the listeners know, we have a recreational groundfish fishery season opening up again in just a few days. Mm-hmm. And we just wanted to get something very soft sell out there that will remind people or help them to think that it's up to all of us, mm-hmm. not just commercial fishermen, but all of us in the future of marine fisheries.
Mm-hmm. Now, Barb Neese is with me there, and Barb is a partner on the project related to the wolffish, and I'm not sure if you have any comments you want to make or additions there?
Just a couple of things. Kathleen mentioned that we do have a graduate student, Jennifer Daw, who's going to work with us on the research we want to do with fish harvesters around their ecological knowledge about wolffish, because most of the scientific information we have on wolffish comes from the research vessel surveys in the offshore areas. So they're not necessarily reflective of wolffish populations and distributions and behavior in the coastal areas. So one of the things we want to do with that project is try and deepen our knowledge about abundance and patterns for wolffish in the more coastal areas. And also, as Kathleen indicated, go back through the history of the listing of the wolffish to see how it was done, the basis for the decision. And to reflect on that process in terms of any advice we might provide in terms of species at risk legislation and actions in the future. But Jennifer's a great student. She's been working at the Bombay Marine Station now for the last two summers, and the Kira is really operating out of the Bombay Marine Station. That's our headquarters. And part of the concept behind the Kira is to try and make the station more accessible and more engaged with the wider community and to encourage fish harvesters and find ways for fish harvesters' knowledge to get into the station and for them to get access to the amazing marine ecology work that's happening there and also schools and so on. But so she's a great student. We're really excited to have her. I know she was taking some fishermen around the station in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I know she was very, because she knew she was going to be working on wolffish. I know she was talking to them about wolffish and what they thought about them.
Mm-hmm. You talked about one of the projects you're just working on, Kathleen, at the moment, related to the cod, the recreational fishery. Are there any other projects that you have in your dossier there that you're excited about in the near future?
Well, of course, I was mentioning the ones that have relevance to the Kira project. Mm-hmm. Within this project that deals with wolffish, we talk to harvesters about other marine species at risk. So I'll just mention the leatherback turtle because that's a fascinating creature. Mm-hmm. For the most part, everybody wishes to see it alive and released live. And unfortunately, when it gets tangled in fishing gear, it's a real challenge. But they are along the Newfoundland coast, especially along the south coast, and they are the world's largest reptile. They have amazing migrations, and they are ancient creatures. I don't know if you've had a chance to ever see one, but they are fascinating. So, of course, everyone's concerned about them and wishes to see them released live when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we do work on stewardship of other species. We've worked with seabirds. I've done that most of my professional life, actually. Mm-hmm. And so that's another story. We were out in the docks last year talking to turr hunters. That's a related project because, of course, we do have a legal turr hunt in the province, but stewardship, again, is the message that we're just trying to convey there. Mm-hmm. There are other migratory birds that we could be talking about. We worked in the Codroy Valley on the education to citizens about the piping plover, which is an endangered little shorebird, and it occurs on beaches along the west coast, particularly in the Stephenville Crossing area and the Port of Ask area and so on. So the overarching theme here is stewardship, and it's a wonderful province to be in because I find more than many other parts of Canada and North America, Newfoundlanders are natural at this because it's part of the connection between culture and the environment are linked. It's all part of who they are, and they've been deeply involved in a positive way in a relationship that's personal with their wildlife.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's probably sad to say, but you're never going to run out of tasks, Kathleen, if you're working at species at risk.
True.
Alas. Well, Kathleen Blanchard with Intervale Associates, thanks so much for taking some time today. And you were mentioning earlier that whenever you go into a community, you say that you don't work for DFO as your opening line. I understand DFO now says we work for Intervale Associates or something. That would be there. That would give them credibility. That's right. But well, thanks, and thanks for your patience with our technical glitches there at the beginning. But,
it's no problem. Yeah. I wish you well with the remainder of your show, and I hope you have lots of listeners, and thank you for including me.
Excellent.
See you, Kathleen. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Okay.
We'll see you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Kathleen Blanchard, who is with Intervale Associates, one of the partners of The Cure. Back to a bit more music.